This is Jack Bauer, and you're listening to the Who's Your Daddy Godcast.
This is the award-winning podcast from a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.org for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. While you're there, consider becoming a partner with us by clicking on the partnership section. Be a part of something big. Make an eternal difference today as you, together with us, bring the message of faith to the world. Together, we can do far more than any of us could ever do alone. And lastly, get on our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. This ministry is a nonprofit 501c3 corporation, and your giving is tax deductible. Now, without any further ado, let's welcome the host of this broadcast, Christina Sasso.
Hello, everybody listening to this podcast. Welcome to the new listeners, and welcome to the listeners that have been with us for a while. My name is Christina, and I want to share a podcast that I've been holding on to for a while now, and I've been procrastinating, but I'll get to that in a minute. First, I want to let everyone know out there, if you haven't already heard or if you haven't already seen the new network of podcasts that we have. So if you want to listen to something every single day of the week, there's something different for you to listen to. And if you're maybe a single mom or you're a guy or you're more into history, there's something for everybody, I think, throughout the week. We have our Who's Your Daddy podcast with Frank and I. And then we have Become a Light podcast, which is our family life partners, Family Life Christian Church in South Jersey. We have Logos with Andy, got a heart for God, and he loves history, and he loves melding the two to get a really clear picture of what the Bible is saying for its time and for our time. Then we have Voice of One podcast. Then we have the Secret Refuge podcast. And then we have NMA. And then we have on Saturday, Bella and Me with Frank and Bella. So I'm sure there's something that you could find that you would love to listen to. Try one of them, try all of them, and we love hearing from you. So I'm just going to dive right in. And here's what I'm going to say right off the bat. I'm really not sure exactly where I'm going to go with this. I have a gist of it, so I'm really relying on the Holy Spirit. And I'm relying on you guys, too, to delve into this direction I'm going in, delve into the scriptures, and maybe you can help me flesh this out a little bit more. And as I was saying, I've been holding on to this for a while, actually since the beginning of June, and I'm just kind of procrastinating because I'm not sure exactly where I was heading with it. So I'm just going to dive right in and stop procrastinating. The word or the idea that came to me was Damascus anointing. Now, I've never heard of this before. You know, it's not specifically in scripture, Damascus anointing, those words. But there's something in the Old Testament and there's something in the New Testament that relates to this anointing that happens in the desert of Damascus and on the road to Damascus. I'm going to start with 1 Kings 19:10. We have Elijah fleeing from his enemies, Ahab and Jezebel. And we pick the story up at verse 10. I'm just going to read it to you. I'll just go a little bit before that. And the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then it goes on. I'm going to allow you to read it. I want you to read it. I don't want to read it to you. And I'm going to skip down to 1 Kings 19:14. He replied, I have been very zealous. So he's having this conversation with the Lord. And he repeats himself, Elijah, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. And the Lord says to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. So the Lord is directing Elijah to go to Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel, Menolah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all those mouths have not kissed him. So there we are, the desert of Damascus, this Damascus anointing. We have anointings going on in this desert of Damascus. Now we have Elisha, the prophet. Let's skip on to him now. And he is found by Elijah plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And Elisha is he himself driving the 12th pair. Okay, so I'm still in 1 Kings 19, and this time I'm in 19, verse 19. So we have Elijah plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And that number 12 is significant. It's believed to be the number of government. It's the 12 tribes. It's a significant number and has meaning. Everything in the word has something to offer. So Elijah goes up to him and throws his cloak around him. So he's basically passing on the mantle to Elijah. As a result of that, Elisha then leaves his oxen, runs after Elijah, and says, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will come with you. And Elijah says, go back. What have I done to you? So Elisha leaves him, goes back, and I'm going to read the scripture here. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. So what I got out of that was, here is Elisha literally burning his bridges. So he was plowing, he burns the plow, and he kills the oxen, cooks them over the burning plow. He's got nothing left. He gives the meat to the people, and he runs after Elijah. So he's literally burned his past, burned his bridges to move forward, to follow Elijah. I want to skip now to Acts 9:17. And in Acts 9:17, we are back in Damascus, or actually on the road to Damascus. I'm going to go a little further back. I'm going to go to 9:1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breaking out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, meaning followers of Jesus, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? So here we are again on the road to Damascus. Saul says, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. He replied, now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. So just like Elijah, Elijah is now given a task to anoint these various people, find his successor. Here we are again in Damascus, and Saul is given a task, and I believe he's being anointed for his future. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, again, that number three is significant. Jesus was buried for 3 days and rose again. Jonah was in the whale for 3 days. And here we are again. Paul is blind for 3 days. He did not eat or drink anything. So these are significant things. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. So Now Ananias is given a task as well. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placed his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you in the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Ananias is anointing Saul in Damascus, filling him with the Holy Spirit. And then Acts 9:18 says, immediately something like scales fell from Paul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Okay, so this is what I feel this is saying to me. Saul was a murderer of Christians. He had the authority of the religious powers at the time to go and arrest men and women, to drag them out of their homes and persecute them. He was an enemy of followers of Jesus. And yet, he had a Damascus anointing. He was on this road. He had an encounter with Jesus. And when you have an encounter with Jesus, everything changes. So I've been thinking about people who have been attacking Christians on small scales and on large scales. In the past few months, there's been a lot of news reports about terrible, terrible things that have been happening around the world. Attacks on our way of life. Attacks on innocent people. And I believe that we have to look to this transition from Saul to Paul. Remember, Saul was the persecutor of the church, and yet he became one of the most prolific writers of the New Testament. He was transformed on that road from Saul, the persecutor, to Paul, the apostle. So I want to encourage people across the world who are listening to not be afraid of these terrorist groups like ISIS and whoever else is out there. Don't be afraid of them, because I believe from them will come our greatest apostles, healers, preachers, and teachers, because all they need is an encounter with Jesus to transform everything. Most importantly is not to be afraid. That is one of my messages here today, is don't be afraid of what's happening in the world. You have many, many promises of protection, and you speak those promises of protection. And if you can only remember one, just go to Psalm 91. You know, he will cover you with his wings. He's going to protect you. He's your rear guard. He's your shield. And don't get distracted by fear. The idea of fear or terror is to get you off track, is to paralyze you. The worst thing a Christian can be is paralyzed, because then you're not doing anything. And that's what the devil wants. And we have to look at these attacks as from not our enemy people, but our enemy Satan. And these people are deceived, just like Paul was deceived. All they need to do is have an encounter with Jesus, and their whole life will turn around. And they'll be, like I said, our greatest healers and our greatest preachers and our greatest teachers and apostles. I also want to give you some scriptures. So let me just go to Proverbs 26:27. If a man digs a pit, he will fall into it. If a man rolls a stone, it will roll back on him. So don't be afraid of these terrorists, because while they're out there doing their mission, as far as we're concerned, anything that they plan against you will be turned against them. So if they dig a pit to trap you in, they will actually fall into it. If they roll a stone to roll onto you, it will actually roll back onto them. So you shouldn't have any fear of that. Let me read some more scriptures that will encourage you if you are having any fear of the things that are happening out there. 2 Kings 6:16-17. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are against us. And at that point, Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. So just because you can't see your protection, it's there. You have angels encamped around you so that you would not even strike your foot against a stone. Proverbs 21:7. The violence of the wicked will drag them away, for they refuse to do what is right. For those who refuse to do what is right, you don't have to worry about them, because their own violence will drag them away, because they refuse to do what is right. Now, there's going to be people who are transformed and are going to end up following Jesus, and there's going to be people who refuse to follow Jesus. And we're not to even worry about that, because their own violence will drag them away. Proverbs 22:8, he who sowed wickedness reaps trouble, and the rod of his fury will be destroyed. So we are called to use our weapons, and our weapons are not of flesh and blood. They're not carnal. Our weapons are of spirit. So when we're faced with fear, what we need to do is use our weapons. The spirit that lives in us is the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. We speak the truth without fear, without being ashamed. And you never know who's listening. We have to rise up. I want to share another scripture from Acts 8:9. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him all their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. So here's a guy who was practicing sorcery. Maybe he was a Satanist. Maybe he was clearly into the occult. But once Philip started preaching the good news, he was amazed. He believed and was baptized. Now, it goes on to say he was a little confused after that because he thought he could buy the Holy Spirit. But what I want to focus on in the story is that he believed because Philip was unafraid and unashamed to share the gospel. And who knew that Simon maybe was listening? You don't know who's listening when you're talking to someone in the coffee house, or you're unashamed to share the gospel with someone that might seem not receptive to it. And let me go back to 2 Kings 6. I know I'm skipping around a lot. It seems very disjointed. I'm just trying to follow this thread. Stick with me, and I would welcome some clarity. If anybody out there has something that wants to attach to this and flesh it out a little bit more, I would welcome to hear from you. Okay, so we're at 2 Kings 6:21. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elijah, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" And Elijah said, "Do not kill them. Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword and bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. So here are these quote-unquote enemies coming to attack Elijah, and Elijah and his men, and the men said, and the king of Israel saw them and asked Elijah, "Let's kill them, because they're the enemy." And Elijah said, no, don't kill them. Let's feed them. Let's feed our enemies. So again, let's feed our enemies, both literally and figuratively. Let's feed them on the word. Let's feed them the truth, because that's what's going to change their perspective. That's what's going to change them from the Sauls persecuting Christians to the Pauls, who are our greatest apostles. I also feel like I have a prophecy over the things that have been happening. So I want to go to Judges 7:22. And Judges 7:22 says, "When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords." So again, going back to them, that stone is going to be rolled back on them. And this seems like foolishness to the world, but the things that are being done against innocent people, it's actually going to be turned against the enemy. So don't be afraid. You're going to see things being turned against the enemy. You're going to see things happening that were meant for evil against innocent people, and it's going to be turned, and it's going to kind of backfire. And the only thing that's going to defeat terrorism is righteousness. So you, as a Christian, proclaim your righteousness, stand in your righteousness, use your authority, speak protection over your land, claim the blood of Jesus, draw that bloodline around your land, and that's what's going to protect your area. And speaking the word unashamed is what's going to transform lives from the Sauls to the Pauls. Then let me also go to Judges 7:11-13. Okay, I'm going to just go a little ahead. Now the camp of Midian lay below him, meaning Gideon, in the valley. During the night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up and go down against the camp, because I am going to give it unto your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah, and listen to what they are saying. Afterwards you will be encouraged to attack the camp." So he and Purah his servant went down to the outpost of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern people had settled in the valley thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand in the seashore. There's a lot of people. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. "I had a dream," he was saying. "A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the midnight camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed." His friend responded, "This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hand." So it sounds crazy. It doesn't make any sense. But do not fear the enemy, because God will give the enemy into your hand. And once you have the enemy in your hand, feed him the word. Be a vehicle for that transformation. Introduce them to Jesus. That's the only thing that's going to change anything in this world. So I'm going to wrap up. I hope that was clear where I was trying to go with this. If anybody has anything they want to add to this, if they've had any kind of revelation on a Damascus anointing, I think there's something more in that. I'm not really clear on what it is, but I didn't want to keep procrastinating and not share these thoughts with you. I hope that this blesses you and it's clearer to you than it is to me right now. And I just hope you pray over it and let me know. Let me know if you get anything further. We should really be communicating with each other. We love hearing from you. So with that being said, don't fear. Don't be afraid. You're protected. It's part of your promises. Don't get paralyzed by fear. That's what the devil wants. Step out in faith. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. You might be talking to the next Paul. On that note, Frank and I love you. God loves you. And most importantly, Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from the History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.